WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in my homeland. We are in Dundalk, Maryland, where Costas says so above us. I've got drinks. I've got ribs. I've got French fries. I can't really eat while I talk. I've already had mushroom caps. I've had crab soup. We've had great guests. It is our 25th anniversary. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. 866-90-NATION. New offer for August. I'll be telling you more about that in the coming days and weeks. I'm also giving out the scratch-offs for the 50th anniversary of the Maryland Lottery, which sort of inspired my 25th anniversary and all the wackiness we're going to be doing here. 25 stories of glory over the next 25 weeks, leading up to the Super Bowl and football season, a stretch run for the Orioles, and an incredible concert season that's about to happen. Been a whole lot of concerts this summer, a couple here and again. I'm a little bit of a drought. And then in September, things start happening again. Late August, things happen again. Nothing more momentous, I think, from a local music perspective than Kix calling it quits. They did this at M3, where my life for friend John Allen from Stone Horses, Child's Play, SR71, Charm City Devils. Did I leave any out?
Yada, yada, yada.
Did I leave out the one from Holabird? No.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Fury? What was it? Fury?
No, it was not Fury.
We went through this the last time. John Allen is here. He is
Sergeant
in
Sergeant Fury.
Oh, I forgot House of Shock.
Yes. Oh, yeah. See? Yeah.
Yeah, is it this point when you get to be a little older as a rock star, it's sort of like being Jack Flaherty getting dealt to the Orioles, where, like, you've had a couple of different shirts, a couple of different teams. You know, if I get with Neil Sean, how many bands has he been in? Bad English. I mean, even the biggest rock stars have been in a couple bands now, right?
Yes.
You move around a little bit, right?
Yeah, not Mick Jagger, though. He's
Well, I mean, how about this, dude? How about this? How about Steve Whiteman? How many bands has Steve Whiteman been in?
I don't know.
He's had another side project.
A couple, maybe, yeah. He played drums before Kix.
But Kix always existed.
What do you mean?
I mean, Kix, like, there was never, like, a hiatus for Kix.
There was.
There was?
Yeah, there was. When he had Funny Money.
But it feels like he was playing, though. It feels like once a year they played. Not like Child's Play where, like, you know, there was a hiatus and Brian passed and then the reunion shows or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it feels like Kix, if there was a hiatus, what's a hiatus? A year? 2 years?
It was a few years because my band... what band was it?
SR.
No, it was before I joined SR. We opened for Funny Money a couple of times. I think down at the beach maybe. And I think it was a few years that he did Funny Money, and then until they got the Kix thing. Jimmy started playing with them in Funny Money, and I think they were like, you know, we got a couple of guys in the band. Let's do it. Let's get it back together. And so here we are now. They're going to do the final show, Walking Away at Merriweather on September 17th. I think there's a few lawn seats left.
This is a crazy. I'm begging you for tickets. And Gene, I don't have tickets. This is a really unique thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I'm celebrating my 25th anniversary. I don't know if they're going to
come. Congrats, by the way.
Thanks, man. I don't know if they're going to come take the radio station away from me, or whether I'm going to sell it to some godforsaken soul that wants to buy it, or it's for sale. Come buy it if you want it. I mean, we're all for sale, you know. But I don't know where you say you're in a band. Every band has had a farewell tour. I mean, the Who started theirs in 82, right? I mean, the Eagles were having their final long goodbye. Like, it's a joke right? Motley Crue, right?
Since 94, I think the Eagles have been.
By the way, I read that Mick
goodbye.
Mars piece in Rolling Stone a couple weeks ago. What happens to bands when you're the 71-year-old guy with a back condition and everybody hates everybody? Like, it's behind the music and all that.
Yeah.
The way Steve decided to come out to his audience, your audience, us, and do that at M3, and then put this thing together at Merriweather. I'm dying to know how you got the gig. I mean, you've known each other. You had a morph band. I was with Sarah Fleischer at the Tommy Conwell show with Dewey. Mm-hmm. I love Sarah. First time I've ever really spent time. We had dinner together. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And she's great, yeah.
Her night was the night that you put Kix together and did this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, you and I grew up buying, you know, Blow
Kix
My
records.
Fuse.
Yeah,
right, exactly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, it was cool. You know, that was because, as far as I know, her retirement was sort of a shock to the people at 98 Rock. It kind of came out of left field for them. And so they were trying to get this party together for her. And I, for whatever reason, the kicks could not do it. So the PD at 98 Rock was like, so you guys are going to play kick songs. And we also want you to learn Thank You by Zeppelin. And I'm like, geez, I can't get my guys to remember our songs. And now you want us to learn a bunch of other songs.
I remember running into Nick that night. Nick from your band, of course, that we grew up with. Child's Play. And Nick was, like, nervous. I remember running. Like, you were real nervous. I was with your wife that night, and I was not with you. And she's like, man, band's like. And you guys slayed it. And I think from... It was very memorable. I mean, I've seen it all. Mm-hmm. That was a very memorable thing. I think this, when I thought about, am I going to go, because I had a European plan together, see Niels and like all that. It's the beginning of football season. They threw me out. I'm not used to being away at that time. And I thought, I don't want to see everybody's pictures. I don't want to see Gia Magliano putting pictures up in the third row live on Facebook and I'm not there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't need to be in the third row. I don't need to have any... I want to be there for the spirit of what it is, because it's like, I'll say end of an era or whatever, but it's unique. It's unique for Steve to do it this way, to involve my friends on a stage that you would love to play on again, right?
Oh, yeah.
Once in your life, you had a chance to go do the Child's Play thing. Mm-hmm. You did it at 12 o'clock in the morning. We all got there early enough. There's a nice crowd there at 12 o'clock when you were at your white and doing your barefoot Brian Jack thing. Mm-hmm. To be able to do that for everybody, I hope we get good weather. It's merry weather. But when I heard about this, the first thing I thought is, you son of a bitch. Well, I've known you my whole life. You didn't tell me about it. Why do I read your stories on the internet?
Well, I didn't know about it.
I thought we had insider information.
Well, they called us, the Merriweather folks called us like only a day or two before M3. So it wasn't like a planned thing out like real far out in advance, and they were trying to keep it quiet, you know, on the down.
And you think telling me would
jeopardize
it?
I just had.
Am I a journalist or something? Do I break news?
I had so many things on my mind that honestly, I just didn't, you know, really think
about
it.
Were you doing House of Shock then? I remember seeing you. You were spread thin.
Yeah,
and your own band, and Stone Horses.
Yeah,
I still am.
I'm trying to finish a Stone Horses record to come out in the fall, because we've got this tour that we're doing with Brother Kane, starting November.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, it's pretty new. We just got this like last week or the week before. So we start November 1st.
I tell people we're friends. I don't know why. I don't know why.
You're busy. I'm busy. You know.
But, I'm going on tour with my band. You know.
Yeah, but it's only
at least
like,
I heard.
It's only like 3 weeks.
You know what the good news is? I'm going to cut you some slack.
All right.
You broke that news on my show to me. It wasn't like. Hey, John and Child's Play getting back together again. You're with me for kicks. And I'm like, how do I not know this? I felt like I was last to the party. All the tickets were gone by the time I found it. But no, keep going. So you're doing
Brother
Kane.
Well, they made the announcement at M3. Were you there for the announcement?
No, I saw that on Stash's Facebook in real time, though.
All right, yeah. All right.
Stash was freaked out. I was freaked out because I went to your show.
Yeah.
Right. I saw Styx play.
Right. Okay.
So I was there
Saturday,
the day you played.
The Saturday.
Right.
So you didn't go back.
I wasn't going back. Okay. Right. There you go.
So that was the big announcement on the Sunday night. And then tickets went on sale on Tuesday. And my God, they sold out so fast. The pavilion sold out. I was really...
Scalpers won $600 to see Steve Whiteman. He didn't charge me that much for voice lessons.
Yeah. How many voice lessons did you do?
Maybe three or four.
Yeah.
And I did them in the drum shop on Harford Road.
Yeah,
right?
Me too.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know Steve was a drummer.
Yeah.
I knew Steven Tyler was a drummer. So I believe in Steve sign? I'll send that. You know, when we take a picture of you and me for Whiteman, I'll send it over. I got to get him on the show.
Yeah.
I had him on like 2 years ago. I asked him where to get a crab cake in Hagerstown. He's like, I wouldn't get a crab cake. So now I believe in Steve. He gave me voice lessons. I mean, he did, because I'm telling you what he did, right?
Yeah.
He had all these warm-up things that you want to do to warm up.
Yeah, I don't think he gave me that one, but he was great, because he was like, you know what you're doing. He's like, I'm not going to take your money. He's like, go on, you know, you're doing
great. I wanted to ask you this, because I've known you my whole life, and we spend like real time together. I've never asked you this. This is a total shoot interview for John Allen Rockstar. At what point did you go from drummer to singer? At what point did, like that this happened in your own mind in the same way that I've had to morph now that I've been thrown out by the Ravens and the Orioles and they won't let me do my job. I guess it would be like, you know, the drummer from Def Leppard losing an arm and thinking maybe I should play a different instrument,
right,
or thinking I don't want to drum anymore, or I want to go sing, or I saw Brian do it and I was in a band doing something. I've never really asked you that. So do you get asked that a lot or no? I think you probably do, right?
Not much. I mean, people ask which one I prefer, you know.
Well, my wife didn't know you drummed.
Okay, yeah.
And there are people on my 25th anniversary, your wife didn't know anything about me starting the station. She wasn't in my life then.
Right.
So, like, that's why I'm celebrating this,
right,
is to say, like, we've done a lot of things, and I think people come to you at this point, especially people in the younger in the audience, or my wife enters in this century and doesn't know any of that,
mm-hmm,
and they're, and like, that's a big part of who you are.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think of you as a drummer.
Actually, I mean, in town, they do. You know, and it's a little frustrating now that I've been fronting and singing for a really long time. You know, I'll get all the time, you know, I can't get used to seeing you up front, you know. It's like, and it feels like a little bit of a criticism, but when I go out of town and I'm on tour, people are like, oh my God, they're like, you're such a good front man, you know. They're blown away. But here,
I miss you drumming.
Yeah,
John.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, you're pretty good, you know. But so back to your story, my story of you know, being a singer is not unlike yours. When SR-71 lost our domestic record deal, you know, I'd already been through, you know, being dropped with Child's Play, and I had kind of been through that before, and Mitch really hadn't, and it's a really tough thing to deal with, you know. Once you've had a record, and SR-71 was so much more successful than Child's Play too, you know. So
and it was a different era.
It was,
right,
a different era. But when we lost our deal with RCA, it's kind of like, you're like, oh my God, what do I do? And within the record business, I mean, I'll give you some real honesty here. You're when you're dropped, you're pariah, you know, and it's tough.
You failed, right?
Yeah, and it's tough to get a new deal, and that's what we were working on, you know.
It's almost been a manager being fired in baseball and thinking, our friend Jim Schwartz, an example, right?
Yeah.
Defensive coordinators, won a Super Bowl, got a job again, making a lot of money, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, will he get another chance to be the head coach?
Right.
Right? I mean, and that's probably as similar in sports, right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so we even you know, wrote a huge hit song called 1985 that was a huge hit for another band.
Only the second dumbest thing I've ever done in my life.
What's that?
Well, the dumbest thing, and I was going to admit this morning to Chris Corman at the Baltimore Banner, the dumbest thing I've ever done was I was in a cab with Mel Kiper in New York City. We had taken a train from Bristol, Connecticut down to New York to see a Jets-Ravens game. And we trained in the Madison Square Garden, Penn Station, and I'm in the cab in the back seat. And we're taking the cab across the river, meeting across the river, a little Springsteen there for you, for your family. So we're going over to Jersey, and I look up and I see the Felt Forum, and I'm thinking, I'm with Mel Kiper, and I knew Mel a little bit, and I'm thinking, well, this is where the NFL draft is every year, and we're outside of it. And I said to him, oh, man, you're here every year with the draft. Yeah, you know, Mel's real matter of fact. And I said to him, Mel, did you see Jerry Maguire? And he said to me, Ness, I was in Jerry Maguire. And I remember being with you in Cleveland Stadium with Mitch and his girlfriend at the time, who was in the movie, Kelly, right?
Kelly who, yeah.
You were there. You were doing the X Games, or what games were?
Yeah, the Gravity Games.
Gravity Games
called,
were in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You called me and you said to me, hey, we're in town. Can you get me tickets? And I said, I know Baker and Roy from the Ravens. And we got tickets and we're in the Cleveland Stadium watching them play the Browns and the Ravens are playing. It's probably like 2004, 5, does that sound right? 6, like that?
Yeah,
era?
Sounds right.
Right, so we're there. My wife's there. We're in the stands. And I remember 1985 getting played in the thing. And I said to you, man, I love that song. You know, I said, you know, she's still pretty young, 1985. I said, I love that song. You heard that song? I remember saying this to you. Have you heard that song? And you said to me in this humble way that I've known you since you were 10 years old, you're like, Ness, I wrote that song. And I'm like, oh, I was just sort of like, okay, you know.
I don't remember this at all.
I remember it vividly, how stupid I felt. And I thought, all right, what else have you written that I don't know about? Did you write Stairway to Heaven? And
no.
I'm just finding
but, this out. But yeah, so like we thought, you know, that'll lead back to a domestic, you know, new record deal. And it didn't. So after that happened, Mitch was living in Los Angeles part-time, living in Baltimore at our house part-time. So he set up a studio in both places, a little project studio. And one of the trips where he went home, I just went down to the basement. I had a song idea and, you know, banged it out. And then I was like, I think I'm going to try singing because it's now or never. You know, if I'm ever going to do this. Yeah, I'm like.
Transition's thrust upon you when your label drops you, right?
Yeah, and I was sitting there, you know, like, man, I'm really tired of looking at singers' asses, you know, back there playing drums, right? So
I'm doing all the work.
Yeah, no, well, not really. But yeah, so that was it. That was the impetus, and I took the ball and started running with it. You know, I wrote the song, Burn Baby Burn, you know. That song turned into three, then turned into six, and then I was like, oh, crap, now I got to finish this record. I got to
So as writing a song for you, I've never thought of you as a guy playing a guitar or a piano or the things that would be structurally necessary. It'd be like me saying I'm a writer, but I don't know how to type.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Well, I talk into a microphone to write books. Or write, I guess mm-hmm. you could do, there's a million.
That's exactly.
You got a drummer with one arm, it's drumming. I mean, like, things are possible, right?
Right.
I saw Chips Enough sing. He sounds like Donnie V now. I mean, like anything's possible, mm-hmm. like in that space. Mm-hmm. But for you to get out and do that and say, I'm going to do it differently and I'm going to create my own band, have my own thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not something that. You do a little praying on that, I would think.
Well,
right?
When I started,
especially when you're a hell of a drummer.
Well,
you're such a great drummer. People still come up to you and tell you you're a great drummer.
Well, yeah. I'd mess around with guitar forever. It's just I never stuck with it long enough to be really good. You know, so I'll go down and I'll bang around on the guitar. But a lot of times I'm writing.
So you pick up Nick's guitar or Idzy's bass and bang on it enough to be.
I
goofy.
Own guitars. I have my own guitars.
No, 30 years ago I'm talking about. When you're
I had a
trying
guitar.
To be a drummer, you had a guitar.
Mm-hmm. I started out on guitar in like fourth grade, but
did you hold the guitar in your arms at the Child's Play M3 show?
No.
I don't know that I've ever seen you hold the guitar and sing a song.
Well, when
I don't think I've seen that.
Well, when I started the project that became Charm City Devils, I was playing guitar and singing and I hated it in some ways because it was hindering my development as a front man. And I was like, Nick, come out and play an AC/DC song with us. And he did it. And I was like, why don't you play a couple more songs? Like,
you wanted
learn
to be free.
I felt like I was changing my stance. So he did that. And then finally, after like, you know, a couple of shows, I was like, Nick, just be in the band, you know. And then once he got into the fold, within like, I don't know, a couple of months, we were on 98 Rock, was playing a demo of ours, and we were talking to the label that eventually signed us that was headed by Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue.
Okay.
So, and that was, you know, Charm City Devils. We wound up with the record deal. Like, it was pretty fast after he joined the band.
Well, it must have been weird. It's a question for Nick, but Nick's used to seeing you behind, you know, all of that. And then Nick saw you sing, but you sang in the band. You always had a mic floating around that you were throwing out of the way and all that good stuff.
Yeah. But it was a backup singer.
Bob Nusgaard just stole all my peach cake from Fenwick. That's all right. You know, that's all right. Spread the love to Ken Island. All right. They got peaches over there, you know. They got bread.
I was just talking about this with somebody about, you know, okay, you were talking about me singing from behind the kit, but like backup singing is a different thing. I mean, it's you're trying to blend. You're trying to kind of not be wallpaper, but you're trying to support the lead singer, and I think singing lead is a very different thing. You have to have character. You have to. I don't know. I think it's.
There
just
was
a
never a time when you're banging on the drums behind Brian where you thought I want his gig, because it never felt that way to me back then.
I don't know.
Well, Brian was a bit of a force of nature.
Oh
right?
My God!
But Brian
was incredible.
Brian was a powerhouse. He really was.
Super charismatic and just, you know. He was a party, you know. You wanted to be around him. You wanted to hang out. I'll never forget the first time I saw Child's Play practice before I was in the band. I went to this practice place, and And of course,
let me guess, Essex.
No, no, it was Towson actually. Okay. The drummer that I replaced, Steve Albanac, lived up right across from what's the school up there? I think that guy was just talking about it, Calvert Hall.
Okay,
lived up there and so I go to the practice and everybody else in the band is there, of course, except for Brian, and he walks in late, like he always was. And as soon as he walked in the room, it was like, I think it was me and Jimmy Schaefer, one of the original guitar players from Child's Play. He wasn't in the band yet either. And we were sitting there. As soon as Brian walked in the room, it was like, that guy's got it. Whatever that it is, that guy's got it. We need to get him in our band somehow. And it happened, but it happened in a backwards way. We got absorbed into
Child's
Play.
So the whole Dundalk Essex thing, like, you didn't really know each other.
No. No. What's funny...
I mean, EVT and Dundalk, we crossed paths. I mean, this isn't
sure.
Like...
He didn't go to EVT, though. But bass player did, Phil.
Where was Brian from?
Brian went to Chesapeake.
Chesapeake, even? Okay, I mean... But I'm thinking Essex and Dundalk were aligned enough from Seagull Inn and music.
You know what's
and,
fascinating? I had an art teacher at Dundalk, Mr. Wallen, who went to the seniors' art showing. I think it was at Essex Community College at the time, and he videoed all these pieces. And there, you know, you're talking about like you were going somewhere. Like we didn't know each other, right? We didn't. But so Mr. Wallen films all these videos, all these different art pieces of seniors, whatever year it was. Brian was older than us, and this one piece just really hit me. I was like, "That's really cool." It was an amazing sculpture, and. Years later, I'm in Child's Play, and we're hanging out at his house, and he lived, his room was over the garage at his parents' house, and we were hanging out there for a couple of hours, like, I don't know, listening to music or trying to write music, and I turn around to walk down the stairs to leave, and there's the sculpture hanging on the wall above the staircase, and I was like, oh my God, dude, I'm like, I remember seeing this.
You know, in Essex Community College.
My teacher brought the video back to Dundalk and played it for all of us, and that was the one piece I really remembered, and it really hit hard. I mean, he was an incredible artist, as well as an incredible singer, frontman, guitar player. I mean, the guy was really talented. His daughter now is an incredible artist.
Yeah, I saw you share some stuff that she did, Adrian,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, John Allen's here. We're at Costas. They are opening, Child's Play is opening, a couple shows, right? I mean, are you doing a Stone Horses thing with the Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Too?
Yeah,
you're
got...
You're doing a thing down at Kent Island, aren't you?
Yeah, that show sold out. I think they are talking about releasing 50 tickets to, it's a cult classic brewery.
Okay.
It's over Stevensville.
Right, yeah, Stevensville.
And that's Stone Horses and Kicks. And then that's August 19th. Then yeah, the big show, Meriwether, their final show. That's with Child's Play, though.
Am I going to get in
to the Child's Play?
Yeah,
to the
Meriwether.
Kick
yeah,
show?
I mean, like, I'm worried.
You in.
I got to get in.
I'll get you in.
I got to. I'm saying the Ravens play that day.
Do you know
well,
anybody so. At IMP?
Yeah, I know people.
Because I have no idea how many guests we get, but I'll get you in. You'll be one of the guitar techs. We had four guitar techs last show, and we only have two guitar players. And we're still out of tune the whole set.
Well, I can be the guy in the back that lets you know whether it's too loud or not and say, up, down, you know, I can do all that. Because
no,
I actually still
care.
Have most
we
of my hearing.
We don't care about that.
You want to be loud. Yeah. Not that loud. Yeah. You're really loud. You're really, really loud.
You're going to have to talk to my sound man
I can't
about
hear
that.
You. Really loud. John Allen has been my friend since 1979. He's in a rock band, a couple rock bands, actually, Stone Horses. I have my Stone Horses shirt. Child's Play is getting back together. You do the barefoot thing again, Brian, or probably?
I haven't
thought
I'm
about it through?
Not sure. I mean, you know, I did that as a nod to him and his onstage persona. It seemed to mean a lot to people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I had we did a show a couple weeks ago, and one of my friends is an NFL agent. We were over at the Spirits West, and Chad just like he's like, I minute I saw the barefoot, I knew it was like what it was, and I'm like, that's you know, that means something 3-4 decades later that you know he has this aura about him, and you just talked about him sort of lovingly and glowing. I didn't know he was. I didn't really know he was an artist in that way.
Yeah.
And I told you the night he got on stage with me in my band, right?
Mm-mm.
I've never told you this.
I think you did tell me, but I don't remember.
I think I told the story. I don't know if I told it on the air or off the air, but when Paul Amantia and I and Ron West of the Cultivated had a band, Ridgemont High, at the turn of the century, we were playing the Ellicott City Stone Cellar. Does that sound right? Stone Cellar?
Yeah.
Right. You're the Stone Horse, Stone Cellar.
Right.
So we're playing the Stone Cellar, and, you know, there's 80, 100 people there on a Friday night shaking their ass to our 80s, you know, Love My Way and some Cars songs and whatever. And Brian was there, like, the whole night. And Brian was, you know, Brian. It was 1 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. He was loose. And he came up to me during, he said, I want to play a song with you guys, man. And I'm like, sure, man. What do you want to do? What do you guys do, man? And I said, he said, Rebel Yell, man. We're going to do Rebel Yell. I said, well, we usually do Rebel Yell in the encore. I'm going to do it, man. I'll be here.
He was a huge Billy Idol fan.
Dude, he grabbed Paul Amantia's guitar. Paul had an extra guitar. We plugged it in. And he got up and just did, in the midnight, mo. And it was just sort of like, and I'm standing on the side, and I'm not in the band anymore. You know, I'm just sort of on the side. And it was late. It was, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, wow.
He used
what
to walk
hell
in,
is this?
He used to walk into band practices doing, you know, his Billy Idol-isms or David Lee Roth-isms, like, all the time. Like, I think it was part of him finding himself as a singer. You know, and he would do these little things, and NXS was big at the time. He would, you know, sing.
Well, he looked like Michael Hutchence.
Yeah,
he had Michael Hutchence's hair during that period of time.
He was probably better looking than Michael.
Probably was. Yeah. Michael did okay. Yeah. You know, but so for you with band and new album, and update everybody on your musical thing.
Well, yeah, Stone Horses, we're doing a bunch of shows, working on a new record, have a little EP out right now.
That's a real active band, active as any band you've had.
Yeah, radio play, you know, getting ready to tour.
I'm the last one to find out that you're touring, but that's okay.
Stonehorsesmusic.com, buddy, you know, you can check things out.
Did you announce the tour? Have you said we're going? Are there dates? Or is this like backstage information? Are there really dates right now on your Facebook page?
Yeah.
Then I missed it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Playing locally or no?
Yeah, Ram's Head on stage is the only local show on that run.
All right.
But yeah, like Midwest and East Coast are all the shows. That's just for the month of November. We've got some other things cooking. House of Shock, we just put out a single.
I'm sorry. I knew this. I don't have any notes. No. I had Gina out 2 weeks ago. And how did it happen? I don't even know.
You introduced me to her.
I don't even know, that's not how you put a band together. I left here 3 days before Christmas at that table. Mm-hmm. Ed Lauer was sitting there. You're sitting there. Next thing I know, Ed's at Gina's house all night. The next thing I know, Wendell's texting me. Mm-hmm. Gina was on the phone. Who's that cute boy who plays the drums? Is he a singer? Does he play the guitar? She wanted to know if you played the guitar. And I said, I don't think so. Yeah. That's a little I knew about you playing the guitar. And the next thing I know, you're doing 2 days over at Bill's Music House, putting this thing together. She got sick, right? The thing
got
pushed
COVID,
off
a
couple of different times. Gina Shock is somebody you and I had, I know, a dozen private conversations in the car together, going somewhere to eat, drink, shows, whatever, where we're like, I don't know her. I've never met her. Mm-hmm. And you always said to me, George knows her, Joyce knows her.
Yeah.
And you had never met her, right? No. You didn't meet her until Drug City on my show.
Right.
You literally met her on the set.
Yeah.
And now you're in a band again.
Yeah.
And you wonder why I'm like asking questions. I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about it. Well, other than you guys were all on stage at the Hard Rock, and all I thought was, I really hope they like each other. And that's how I, that's
no,
my heart.
It's been a lot of fun. You know? I mean, it's just great. Yeah, she's awesome. We just recorded a couple songs at my house.
Smile
Pretty's one of them. And I'm drawing a blank now. But Smile Pretty turned out fantastic. They just debuted it in Philly.
I love that song when I saw it the night at Hard Rock. It was the best song you did that night.
Yeah.
It was memorable.
That wasn't the first song, was
no,
it?
No. No, I didn't say the first time I saw it was that
right,
night.
Right, right, right.
It was memorable.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the fact that they said to me, we're releasing that, I'm like, okay, I remember.
Yeah.
And again,
She's a great writer. I mean, she's a great songwriter.
I would ask her the same thing, which is she sat there back there looking at Belinda's backside, you know, for all those years. And as she said rather flippantly in her Dundalk way to me 2 weeks ago, she's like, I write songs, I sing, and if you don't like my voice, F them. And, you know, I mean, a little bit of what you have to have, which is, hey, not everybody's going to like John the singer maybe as much as they like John the drummer. Maybe they don't like Nestor the non-sports guy or whatever. Fine, but this is where my voice needs to be right now, right? Well, and this is Gina being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, having this band that you would have dreamed of having, right?
Yeah.
Anybody would have dreamed to have a band as successful as the Go-Go's.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get older and you drift this way or that way, or some people want to do that, or you lose your singer, you know, or you lose your drummer in Rush's case, or your drummer's unavailable in U2's case. You still charge $1,000 a night and play. But, I mean, it's an ensemble effort. And I think at heart, especially when you get to be our age, you want to like the people you're working with.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just that. I mean, the fact that you like each other, that means a lot more to me in introducing all of you than to say, well, I'm in a band with Gina, but her singing is something I didn't know anything about her.
So good. I mean, I personally prefer her voice to Belinda's, but...
You were the one that told her to get out and sing, right? Didn't you tell her that you'll play the... Like, when she was going to play the drums originally as
part of the plan.
That hard rock thing. She needed accompaniment, right?
The plan, I think, right from the get was, like, we were going to do half and half. She's going to play drums on half the set, and I was going to play drums on half the set. I was going to play guitar and sing on the other half. And then it turned out I was like, yeah, my voice just doesn't sound good on a lot of the stuff. So, you know, it was more appropriate for her to sing. Like I said, she's got a great set of pipes. So, well, and I'm having fun playing those songs, too. Like, you know...
So there's stuff you won't sing or you think you suck at singing. You're just like, that's not me.
Well, you know, some of the stuff was like some of its Go-Go's covers, you know, and you know, I'm not appropriate to sing that stuff. And some of it's hard, you know, it's up there.
Right.
My voice is finally dropping. I finally hit puberty at what age am
I? Well, when Gunnar Henderson gets his man muscles, he's going to start hitting more home runs.
There you go. Right.
You're loving the sports thing, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a good time to be an Orioles fan, except if I take my wife to any games. She's like the jinx. Like the game they lost like at home like a couple of weeks ago.
Don't take her.
Like, I got a snack.
You went that Saturday night where they got their ass kicked?
No, it was a Tuesday when we were in Annapolis. We all took the family up and drove up. I'm like, that's it. No more games for you, honey.
Well, you would be good luck or bad luck. At least we have something here that feels like a chance to win championships. Baseball and football. I've had this place 25 years. It hadn't been a whole lot of August 3rds that we'd be sitting here talking about the Orioles and the Ravens being simultaneously not just relevant, but being... I don't want to say the Ravens are dominant.
You have to see.
It's a new season.
It's on paper, right?
But in the case of the Orioles and what they've built, it feels like we're going into this window where... You know, your girls might sit and watch a baseball game in October at some point and say, I like that. Or, you know, whatever it would be that we weren't watching them for a long time, right?
Yeah, no, it's great.
You got something. It's
great,
you got
related? Because,
You want to do this? Yeah. I'm usually the one showing my crotch on the show, but this is John doing this here.
It's little.
Let me see it. It's a belt buckle. Take it off. I got my belt buckle today, so I wore this one. I have one planned for tomorrow for Drug City. This is my Foreigner.
What's the one you're looking for? I saw you post it.
I'm looking for a Blues Brothers and a UFO.
UFO
and a Blues Brothers. This is my Foreigner belt, and I wore this because like today feels like the first time. So that's why I wore this one today. Tomorrow I'm wearing my Chicago belt buckle because it's my 25th anniversary and it's 25 or 6 to 4. So is this Major League Baseball like licensed? Let me
read the back.
This is Major League Baseball Promotion Corp. Look at that. Dude, you're an artist. You should repaint that. Get that thing up to code for the Orioles. That's
pretty
good.
It was on a cheap plastic belt. I actually have a Baltimore Colts one as well.
I have a Colts one.
Yeah.
I brought that out with Chad a couple weeks ago. I held it up, yeah.
Well, I had to cut it off the cheap belt, you know, because I couldn't fit in that little
belt
that I wore when I was like...
We become belt buckle nerds here as we do this.
Well, you know, you can go get that UFO buckle probably over at the T-shirt stand.
KB! Spencer's!
T-shirt stand in the middle of East Point Mall where you should do the iron-ons.
You remember the Penguins at East Point Mall, don't you?
I do not.
You do not? You're like...
It drives me bananas because I can't find any pictures of it or anything. My mom.
I have pictures.
You have pictures of,
people
of
have
the
spent,
penguins.
Not pictures I took, but people have pictures you of have the penguins.
You do.
Every time I mention the penguins at East Point Shopping Center on my Facebook, people put pictures up.
Really?
Like, I swear, if I put East Point Penguins in on my Facebook, you're going to see a picture of a penguin right now.
My grandmother worked at Hochschild Cone, the one downtown, but also at East Point Mall. And I just can't imagine, like, you know, you apply to a job for Hochschild Cone, and they're like, okay, you're going to be cleaning out the penguin showcase window. Like, oh, my God.
I've hit it, and I said, does anybody remember the penguins? And they... Stone Horses shows up when I put East Point because you guys played the flagship cinemas at East Point.
Right.
For the there you are. Look good up there, man. The Stone Horses looking. One thing I'll say about being in rock and bands these days is no matter whether you're in Stone Horses or whether you're in the Rolling Stones, they can make your stage look awesome with lights and logos now.
Yeah.
The background. Like every band I see now, the sets are grand, but they're not. They're video oriented and lighting oriented, where everybody looks like Triumph looked in '82.
Yeah, you know? I do miss the old style lights sometimes. The LED lights don't always look great. Like picture, Brian and I were talking about this AC/DC concert that we went to.
'81? For Those About to Rock?
It was For Those About to Rock. I thought it was '82, but
okay.
That light show was incredible. And those are old school lights. I mean, they were carrying. They probably had
that whole concert from the Capitol Center is on YouTube.
Yeah, they probably
because it was pro shot from the Capitol Center. Right?
Probably had like 12, you know, semi trucks carrying all that lighting gear and PA gear. I mean, that's the kind of. I'm old school, man. I love that stuff.
I want to find the penguins at East Point Mall. You're not going to get away with this on my anniversary without me at least like finding.
I remember the slide at Hess Shoes in East Point. I remember the tugboat. Set up in the kids' shoe department in the basement of Hutzler's. I do not remember penguins at Hochschild Cone.
I'm telling you, somebody put the penguins up on this page when I put this up. They had like a little Polaroid that they had taken a picture of it, or maybe they sent it over to me, but I swear I have... They were a little blurry, but it was completely legitimate.
My dad told me about the X-ray machines they used to have in the shoe stores when he was a kid. Like, again, like, oh, my gosh. Like, can you imagine?
Who cared for the penguins?
That's what I'm saying. Like, who cared for
who
the penguins?
Who fed the penguins? All right. John Allen's here. Stone Horses, Charm City Devils, SR71, Child's Play, back together again, one night only.
Well, there might be more.
That's what I was waiting for. That's what I was waiting for. That's all. I had Tommy Conwell on a couple months ago, and they put the Young Rumblers together. They played Dewey. I mean, just... incendiary. I mean, just like it was the 80s again, as he always says, you know. And I had him on, and I was talking
to great, man.
Paul Manna. I told Paul, I'm like, dude, you got a book. They only get together once a year, twice a year. And Tommy came on, and it was really introspective in the way that you would be about Brian, in the way that he would talk about the band. And, you know, they told him to fire his drummer, so he kind of had to. You know what I mean? All this stuff that happened to him back in the day and how he should have stuck up for guys and, like, all of this stuff. And he said that at one point, the guys in the band said, we do this once a year. We're in our 60s now. Does that mean we're only going to do it 5 or 10 more times, like, after doing this? Or we should do this more often. It's not about money. It's more about, like, where you belong. You know what I mean? And I definitely felt that way seeing you at Soundstage last year and then seeing you again, thinking like, all right, you're not going on tour and putting the band together and, you know, leaving the kids at home or like whatever. But the fact that Kix is at the end now, it says to me, maybe you guys should play Trifecta and do 3 times a year. And the people that want to see you will see you. Yeah. The 600,000 people that love you a lot will come a lot. And Crack the Sky made a living on that. I feel like the next 10 years, I want to see you do it.
It makes
more than
happy.
As a side project.
Well, it makes people happy. I mean, I think that's the huge part of it for me.
Made me happy.
Seeing people, you know, just enjoying themselves and reliving these times, you know, that we had at the Seagull or Capricorn and all the other
clubs. I still believe
Hammer
in Steve
Jacks
Whiteman. I made signs that said so. I believe in Steve right here.
In purple.
These were Steve McNair signs.
Yeah.
I figured
Bisciotti.
I don't have to free the birds anymore. We freed them. They're good.
Yeah.
When I get my press pass back, I'll be free. But all right, 17th of September?
Yes.
You guys have to rehearse or no?
Yeah, we've been. We actually just did one the other night. Phil has to come down from New York.
You get a longer set because, like, it is what it is. You can play a little longer.
It's going to be a little longer than M3, yeah, but not. I don't think too much.
You going to play to Jack? I want to hear to Jack. I ain't leaving until I hear to Jack.
Well, we might play the Jack in another show. Let's put it that way.
Ain't that the Brian Jack? Didn't he write that one? You guys used to play the Jack every night. Child's Play.
When we started out, yeah, we did a lot of AC/DC.
You did the Jack all the time.
Yeah.
All right.
We did.
Leave it to me ask you for a cover. If I said you're going to play Rat Race, you're like, I hate that song.
It's true. We didn't play it at
M3. Don't play your own songs. What the hell are you going to play?
I was telling a friend of mine who he put out Man of Constant Sorrow with Charm City Devils,
sure.
You know, and he's like, you going to play Rat Race? I'm like, no. He's like, of course not. It was a single. You know, why would he end the video? He's like, freaking musicians, freaking artists.
I haven't had you on since M3. So I'm going to tell this story to embarrass you, but it's okay because you have fans. There was a guy backstage, and I hadn't seen Idzy in a long time. And, you know, like you and Nick, I've known Idzy my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't seen Idzy. He wanted to see me, and I wanted to see him. And he had some health issues and, like, all. And I just wanted to, like, hang with him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I cornered him. After 2-3 hours after you're off stage, kids are running everywhere. I hadn't seen you yet. I mean, I don't even know where the hell you were. You guys had like a whole hospitality area, all this stuff going on. And I corner Idzy, and I'm getting, and we're talking, how's your wife and cancer and you and your eye and bad and the beach and bad and your girl and that. So we're talking, and a guy comes up with all of this stuff, all of this swag, all of these CDs, posters, covers. And he said, excuse me. Seems like you know each other real well. I just want to meet Idzy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. She comes in on Idzy. He's like, I've waited my whole life to meet you. He said, you're the only guy that I've never met from all the band, you know, all these bands.
Idzy, I know who you're talking about.
Is this really elusive, like, sort of rock star to some degree. And he had all the stuff that he wanted to autograph. And you told me this funny story about a Japanese thing. And...
No, that was the guy.
Yeah,
I think what you're thinking of. So that guy was on the Monsters of Rock cruise back in 14 when Charm City Devils played. And he, same thing, we finished our set and he shows up with this stack of CDs for me to sign. And it was like, it was Child's Play, it was SR-71, it was all this stuff. I'm signing. And I get to the bottom, it's some Spanish-speaking singer from like South America or somewhere. And I'm like, oh, this isn't me. And he's like, yeah. He's like, you're on that record. So Mitch from SR-71 produced her record, or at least this song. He used my drum tracks, and he gave me credit on the album and everything. So this guy, I've got one super fan.
it was a beautiful thing because it really meant a lot to this guy.
Yeah.
I love music, right? Like, if I ran into Biff from Saxon, I would think that's awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I ran into Dana.
We played with them back in the day for an all ages show at Network. Brian had just taken over as lead singer, and it was like the end of the tour for Saxon, and they were trying to talk us into going on after them instead of before. They just wanted to be done. They wanted to finish the night and move on to the next town or go home to England or something. And I actually had a face to face with Biff, you know, standing in the doorway of his bus, saying, "He's like, oh mate, you know, think about it." He's like, you know, you can say one day, you know, Saxon open for you, and I was like, no, like I don't want Saxon open for us.
I want open for Saxon.
Yes, it's like everybody's gonna leave once you guys are done. I want to play for your crowd.
Did
like,
you
no.
tell him that I brought the Strong Arm of the Law import from Highlandtown into eighth grade after I saw them open for Rush?
I had that one too with the patch.
Arm of the Law.
It came with the patch.
Denim and leather. That's all together. It was you
that's
set
a
the
different
spirit
record.
Free. That was the album before. Absolutely.
Come on.
Stop, Get Out. We are the Strong Arm of the Law. Strangers in the Night, both on separate flights. Rock and roll, man. We grew up together. Yeah, rock and roll. All right. Anything else you want to say, make me cry or let go? I think it's cool that you say people love your band. And I met this guy's from like Nebraska. This guy was from like the Midwest.
Yeah. He's
stalking down.
He has his own like museum at his house. He's got like a separate, but he was telling me all about it at M3. He's got set pieces from Ronnie James Dio's, I forgot what tour it was.
And he wants you to be a part of that. That's inspiring. That's awesome,
dude. Crazy, yeah.
Some crazy Radio Hall of Fame guy came and wanted one of my signs. I think it's the greatest thing ever, you
it's
know?
It's cool.
That's why we do what we do, you know?
What part of the reason?
All right, yeah. Stone Horses, go see them play if you can get tickets. Same thing with Child's Play and the Kicks Band. You got Whiteman's number?
Maybe.
Yeah, I got to text him. I want to get him on the show. Why do you want me on?
Yeah.
I'm retiring. I'm old.
I have another request from a friend of mine. His daughter writes for a paper, and I'm not sure Steve wants to do anything. You know, like if they're, you know, this is the last show, he might not want to do anything. You know, it's like, you know, it's done. I don't know. I feel funny. Like, in, you know, I feel like I might be imposing. Like,
I want to celebrate with him.
Yeah.
This is a celebration of Kicks. It's not a funeral.
I mean, not for you. I'll pass it on.
No, but it's not a, you know, I mean, I'm looking at it as something I want to celebrate. It's better than the other, you know, people dying. And we talk like Pee Wee Herman. I mean, you talk about people when they're doing it as being great.
It's true.
That's a lot better than day after Sinead O'Connor saying, oh, I haven't listened to her in 15 years. You know
what
I mean?
God.
Like, you know?
We were on her same label, you know. But Child's Play was signed to Chrysalis. And I'll never forget, like, you know, one of the few things that the label did for us is being in the office in New York. They're like, oh, go in the locker there and take whatever records you want. And I remember coming home with that Sinead O'Connor record and just listening to that thing, and it blew me away because it was such an incredible piece of art. Not, you know, not pop, not like whatever, you know, nothing worrying about hits. It was such a piece of art. She was so incredible. And then seeing the MTV Unplugged, there was a song that really struck me as I think it was called Black Boys on Motorbikes. It's really heavy, heavy song. She was incredible, and she really got shit on.
People like rediscover her greatness, like Van Gogh, right? Mm-hmm. The day after she dies, we all start listening to things again and hear, you know, Mandinka, you know, stuff that I haven't heard in 30 years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. I mean.
No, she got canceled because of the Saturday Night Live appearance, and that's.
It turned out she was right. That's all she was. Yeah, it's an important fact. So I've been canceled too.
Yeah.
Except I'm not. Except I'm still here. Yeah. 25 years later. Feels like the first time I got my Foreigner belt buckle on. I got to go. They brought me ribs and French fries here.
Go eat, man.
My French fries are going to be as cold as they were at Lambeau Field that day. We're at Costas. It's all brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery. Calvin Statham was my 7th, 8th, and 9th grade music teacher and my chorus teacher. My wife took the day off just to hang out with him. We're 6 here. Terry's here. Brian Poole from 7th grade basketball is here.
I just found some old photos from a show, either the Christmas program or the...
Where the Statham Singers did their
yes,
thing?
Yes.
Before I bring you knew Mr. Statham. Tell everyone what it was like when the Statham Singers would come into the auditorium at Hollabird.
It was,
at Christmas time, because you were in the band, right?
It was incredible. It was like
gospel revival.
Yeah, and like Mrs. Statham would hold a note and basically traverse the whole gym holding one note without taking a breath. She would run. She would hold her dress up. She was decked out in this beautiful gown. She would hold her dress and she would run the whole perimeter. Do you remember
Calvin,
that?
He's telling stories about your wife right now, about her holding notes, running
weird.
Around.
That sounded weird.
Singing songs. He was at all the shows.
The program at
79, 80, 81.
Hollabird.
He was at all of them.
I have pictures of the Statham Singers from the program.
Yeah, you were fortunate, he says.
I was. I got to witness it.
So my son brought this piano. Can you stay a while? You got kids to get. I got a piano for him. I got a piano for him.
I got a split.
You got a split. All right. All right. We'll take a break. John's here. Mr. Statham's here. Back for more right after this. I'm going to try to put them in here together.